And welcome back. Okay. You have had a tremendously busy program tonight, and I hope you all enjoy it, learn from it. Enjoy may not be the right word because it's not fun, but it's reality, it's critically honest, and you have a right to know. That's what we believe above all else. You have a right to know. Your government doesn't think so. Our government, wherever you are in whatever country you're in, your government is running your life, basically. Now, I'm saying that advisedly because there are always many exceptions, but you have a God-given right to know what the hell's going on around you. And we have been hit with an international global attack on humankind by this SARS-CoV-2, the virus, and the bioweapon injections. And people are really suffering, and it's getting worse. All right, up now is Stefan Verstappen, the maestro of survival communities, shall we call them, where you can get together with your neighbors of like mind, hopefully, and work on all kinds of things to help you in the event that the fertilizer hits the rotating blade. And it's going to very soon. In fact, it already has. Hello, Stefan. Welcome back. I can't hear Stefan. All right, we get him. We're getting him. We're getting him. All right.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be back. Thank you for
Yes.
having me back on.
It's a pleasure.
Listen, just to update you, I got your cane, because we missed a few meetings because of, the winter and Christmas and all that kind of stuff. So I
Oh, how
finally got a
nice.
hold of, so I finally got a hold of the guy. So your cane is right here next to my desk. And next thing I got to do is figure out how to package it and send it to you. But coming soon, coming soon.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. Were you able to get the 1-inch one? That's the one. That's
Yeah.
the that's the one you want to have. And it looks like a really important thing to have. Very important. Nice thing. Thank you.
It's Oh, you're welcome, Jeff. You're welcome. So, let's
Survival
see. So,
communities, prepared communities, communities with a brain, communities that support from within and from without. These are wonderful people. And you put them together.
well, it's not all just me. It's everybody.
Understood. Understood. It's a cooperative effort.
It
I won't
is.
say
It really
it won't
is.
say I will not say a communal effort. I don't like COMM words, but it's a
Yeah.
good one. It's a good
Well,
one.
communism was based on communalism, right?
Before it was
And
perverted by wicked politicians and others, yes.
exactly. I mean, see, the thing is, communalism, and I don't like that word either because it's too close to communism for me too, but that's what it was called originally back in the, 1840s. There was a writer, a Russian writer, Potemkin,
Potemkin,
and he,
yeah.
yeah, and he wrote about communities, and he was, one of the original members of the Communist Party, and he split with the Communist Party, and because he absolutely hated what they were doing, because you see, communalism, meaning people working together in communities, is a great idea, and it works. And so the communists hijacked that concept, all right? Because it's, look, there's,
It's very
people working
appealing. Come
together.
on, it's an easy sell. I get it.
It's an easy sell because everybody understands the benefits of, geez, work together with your neighbor and support each other. Of course, it's a no-brainer. And the thing is, the communists hijacked that concept and sold it as communism. And then, of course, they completely subverted and became psychopathic mass murderers. But originally, that was a good idea. And so communalism and communism, in theory, was a good idea. But of course, well, we know what happened with communism. Don't need to get into that tonight. But so yeah, it was It's a community effort. I'll just give you a quick update how our community is doing. First of all, we had a couple of our members went to speak to other groups that are starting to form in areas around us. Now, the areas that they went to, they're about an hour's drive away, so they're too far away to be part of our community. We try to keep people within a half hour drive. And if it's more than a half hour drive, then, well, you should form your own community in the location where you are at.
That's your basic distance radius that you work on, about a half an hour drive? Got it.
Basically, yeah. You know what? The other thing, too, is because a half hour drive is approximately equal to a 10-hour walk. So even if you couldn't
that's a long haul.
That's a long haul, I know.
Yeah.
So even if you couldn't drive, at least you had the possibility of walking to, you know, meet up with your fellow team members. So, but these communities are, like I said, we have a sister community that's about 45 minutes away. And many of those people come to our meetings, and we all join up together when we have, like, community events, like picnics and potluck dinners and music performances, things like that. Then we all come together. Then it's worth the 45-minute drive, you know. It's just not worth it to do it every week. And So we have the sister community. Now, we also have two other sister communities that are also, again, about 40, 45 minutes drive away. And they're not doing quite as much as we are, but they're working at it, you know. But last weekend, two of our members went to speak to another two communities that are mm-hmm. forming, and they're about an hour's drive away, an hour, 15 minutes. Look, we're
this
all
is
still
remarkable. Look what you've set in motion here. This is really nice to hear. Great.
Yeah, and listen, one of them, they have 500 people signed up for that community. Now, just between you and me, I think that's going to be a little bit unworkable. 500 people in that community is just too much. You're going
to
get a lot of...
One thing that just occurs to my ignorant mind about these things, maybe that would mean bigger individual units with more people to accomplish even a higher level of preparedness. It might work well if it's divided up properly.
Rather than five
people in a group, you might have 15 in a group or 20 or 25.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Like me personally, I wish we had more people too. The only problem it's not a problem. The only thing I worry about is that we haven't vetted all those people.
Oh, that's a tough job. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough job. You see, one of the things that our community does, the way we vet our community, is that nobody has taken the experimental injection. Nobody. And so that's one of our prerequisites for coming into our community. We don't want to get infected by people that are shedding. And also because it is a bit of a IQ test. It's sort of a self-selective process. If, you followed along with the government indoctrination and all the, you know, everything they've done to force people to get these things, then, you know, we need people that can resist that government indoctrination. Otherwise, you're not going to be too much use to us if you fall for all these scams that the government is trying to pull. And, of course, the scams that the government is trying to pull is to murder you, which is a pretty big scam.
Yes, it is.
So, but listen, I am heartened to hear that there are so many people. And the other community that they went to talk to, they had about 150 people sign up. Now, they're not doing much yet because they don't know what to do. So members of our community go there and they talk to them how to set up the community, how to run the meetings, how to get the radios synced up and the different teams that we have, you know, medical team, food team, communications team, security team. And so, well, this is good news, Jeff. We've got, like I said, we've got our community, which is about 100 people. We've got a sister community, and well, we've got three sister communities that are nearby that are, you know, working hard to get their things together. And now we've got two other communities that are a little bit further away. They're in cities that are a bit bigger, like here where we are, just a bunch of small towns. But they're in small cities, medium-sized cities, and that's why they're getting more people. But listen, people are waking up, Jeff, and they're realizing that they have to work together. And so when you get, you know, 500 people sign up wanting to be part of it, that mm-hmm. is a good sign.
That's so, a remarkable sign. I am really quite interested in that. Well, we'll watch their progress. You know, you'll let mm-hmm. us know. It's encouraging. It's nice.
It is encouraging, you know, because I know we're always getting all this negative information these days. Yeah. It's easy not to get blackpilled.
Well, they want us to think we're helpless, and what you're describing here is the opposite of helplessness. This is good.
Yeah. Oh, I just got a letter from the RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and they've renewed my firearms license. I'm good for another 5 years. Hey, I was worried because...
Nice.
Yeah, every 5 years you got to renew it, and so I had to renew it on my birthday last January. Mm-hmm. And you have to supply a new photo every time, you know. And so I took the photo myself. You know, I set my camera on, you know, 5-10 second delay, and I took like 30 photos of myself. And I'm trying to find one photo where I don't look like a hitman for the Hell's Angels. My mugshot is scary.
Now that you've opened this door about firearms, what, if you get the permit, what is allowed in Canada where you are? Can you have a semi-automatic so-called assault rifle? Or are they restricting you to shotguns and bolt action rifles?
No.
Magazine
no.
restrictions? What do they have?
Well, what happened about 8 months ago was Prime Minister Fidel Castro made an announcement that within 2 weeks, or by the end of the month, something like that, all handgun transfers will be restricted, meaning you can't buy a handgun. You can't get rid of the handgun you've got. You can't sell it. You can't buy a new one. No transfers of handguns are allowed. And so what I did, as soon as I heard that, I went online immediately to the online gun outlets, and because I already had a pistol, but it was a .22, and I wanted a duty pistol because I do have, you know, I've got a bunch of different strategies, Jeff. One strategy is I have a black tactical vest, and the purpose of that is for me to imitate law enforcement. Impersonate law enforcement, right? So, you know, you got riots downtown, and there's, you know, 200-300, and they're not going to know who I am, you know. But they'll look at the gear, and I do have, you know, a security license, and I got security written all over all my equipment, you know, and my headsets and things like that. I also got a SWAT cap, you know, for my good friend who's a SWAT team member. So I could fake, you know, just to get through a riot.
I follow you. I get it.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure. So because I remember when they had the G20 riots here in Toronto that must have been 20 years ago now. And, you know, they're burning cars. And there's hundreds of people in the streets. And there's like, you know, 200-300 law enforcement. And let's say I had to get through that. Well, I put on my tactical vest and my SWAT team cap, and I've already got a cover story, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
is this a bulletproof body armor kind of a tactical vest, or just a tactical looking vest?
Just a tactical looking vest. It's just one. It's actually when I got it on Amazon for like $60 or something like that,
uh-huh.
right?
Uh huh.
Actually, it's a piece of crap. But you know, it does the job. They can't tell what the difference is, right? But the only thing I was worried about is that for the holster, if I stick my .22 in there, it's pretty obvious it's a 22, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, not to the average Canadian who can't tell the difference between a handgun and a hole in the wall. But so I wanted a duty pistol. I never got around to it because it's not a huge important thing. It's like it's another optional strategy that I have in the back of my mind that if I need to get through police roadblocks or I need to get through a riot zone or a combat zone or something like that, then, you know, I'll dress up in the same gear as law enforcement dresses up as. But I need a duty gun, right? A full-size duty gun. So anyways, Justin Trudeau banned all sales. So I knew when that announcement came out that everybody's going to be buying pistols. So I rushed to the internet and I got on, and sure enough, within an hour, every online gun seller was out of stock. And everybody's buying them because this is your last chance to get a pistol. So I did get one, not the one I wanted, but whatever. It looks like a Glock 17, but it's not a Glock 17. It's kind of one of those, you know, a knockoff of a Glock 17. There's dozens of them now.
A Glock clone, so to speak. Look, if you got the caliber that you want, that's three-fourths of it. Most of these pistols are pretty serviceable, pretty good.
This one's serviceable. It shoots, I read all the reviews on it. It's not the best. The trigger pull is really long and hard, 8 pounds. What do I care? I'm a strong guy. I can pull an 8 pound trigger. But at least when I stick it in my holster, now I look like a, you know, law enforcement.
I thoroughly understand. Yeah.
So that's what I did. I got it. And but now, because of that law, no handguns. You still can't, because we've got two types of licenses in Canada. One is a non-restricted license, and the other is a restricted license. Now, a non-restricted license, you can buy any kind of long arm, shotgun, 22 rifle, hunting rifle, deer rifle, and I'm pretty sure you can still get like an AR-15 under that license. But the restricted license was for handguns. But since handguns aren't available anymore because he's banned it, but there are still other long rifles like short barrel pistol carbines, right?
Yeah, SBRs, short barrel rifles, they call them.
Short barrel rifles. So then you need the restricted license to get one of those.
Right.
So I can get everything that's available for sale right now. So, okay, that's fine. What the hell is this on there? Oh, they got my picture in a clear plastic thing now, too. Oh, my God.
Well, you're
okay,
official.
Anyway, so I'm good.
You're all set now. Good.
Well, because when I sent in the pictures, I mean, I really look like it's a mugshot. Like, you know, I've seen pictures of Hell's Angels hitmen, and that's what I look like. So I was worried they were going to refuse me my license because, you know, I look like I look like bad news. Or maybe they listen to one of my podcasts. And God forbid they should listen to any of my podcasts, because then they'll definitely not renew my license. But it's all renewed. I'm good. And knock on wood, I'm good for 5 years. So, anyway, so
you sound like a new man. You sound like a new man, Stefan. So good.
Well,
you got your sidearm. You got your TAC vest. You're rolling along. I like it.
Yeah. Now you are allowed to buy body armor here in Canada. I haven't bought it because I don't have a lot of money to throw around on things. And before I buy body armor, you know, I probably want to stock up on a little bit more ammo. You know, I only got like 250 rounds of 9mm. I'd like to have 500 rounds.
Sure.
Not that I plan on shooting a lot, but you never know. It's also a very important barter item. Ammunition is going to be
totally right. Yes.
Right? It's going to be worth its weight in gold. So, yeah, I'd like 500 rounds of 9mm. Not that I'm going to be shooting off that many rounds. Like, for when? How am I going to do that, right? Even if we do get attacked by smally drug lords here. You know, I doubt I'll be shooting off 500 rounds, but the extra rounds I can use for barter. So, yeah, good for that.
Now, remember also that there's still, this might be fun to do for a couple of minutes. There's a debate out there. 12 gauge is universal. It's too much of a kick for a lot of women. Not knocking them. They're just too much of a kick for me. It's not a fun thing to shoot. It hurts sometimes. Well, it doesn't hurt, but it's a big pop. 20 gauge is a really good way to go for a lot of people. And apparently quite a few people have. The ammo's not as prolifically available quite, but it's all over the place, 20 gauge.
Yep.
And that doesn't have near the kick. It'll put out plenty of punch. I think one 20 gauge load of buckshot puts out, what was the equivalent? The equivalent of three or four rounds of 9mm at once, something like that. It was very formidable. So 20 gauge is a good thing to consider if you don't want to have to deal with the recoil on it. It's got a big kick.
Yeah.
What are your people doing?
Well, most of the people that have guns are men here, and so we're not worried about the kick.
Got it.
I got the 12 gauge shotgun. First time I brought it to the range, I because it also depends on what you shoot. If you shoot bird shot, it's not that much of a kick. If you use a three inch shell with a slug in it, now that's a kick, you know. But I'm a big guy; it doesn't bother me. You just got to pull that stock up tight to your shoulder and lean into it. Look, I've seen videos of, like, you've probably seen it. It's this, like, 12-year-old girl, little blonde girl with a ponytail, and she does, like, a three-gun course. And she fires off 12-gauge semi-automatic. I think it's a Remington. And this little 12-year-old girl just boom, 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 like it's nothing. So if a 12-year-old girl can shoot a 12-gauge
shotgun.
There's
a technique of letting it seat in your shoulder. How you react with it, let your body go with it, so to speak. Don't fight it. The semi-automatics are getting to be very good, I understand, too, and shotguns.
Yeah. Very good. I've heard good things about them. Mine is just a pump action, but I'm fine with that.
Yep.
All you need. So, as long as you put the butt stock up close to your shoulder so you don't have a gap there. And also, you can also buy extra impact absorbing buttstocks for, right? It fits over to your existing buttstock and it makes it softer. And so there's nothing wrong with that. I would say for some of the smaller women, a 410 gauge would be fine. Even if you use buckshot, I think it still puts out like five rounds in a shell. So that's nothing to sneeze at.
No.
So anyways, I'm really encouraged that there are so many other communities starting up all around us, because eventually, Jeff, the idea is that all these communities, like, okay, they're an hour away, hour and a half away. I'm not going to go there every week, but if it is, the end of the world, if it's, complete grid down, at least we know they're there. They have resources. And, if we have to take one car, with five of us in there and drive out there and go see them, do some barter, do some exchange, then, it works. We help each other, right? Sure. So that was good. So I'm really encouraged by that. The other thing is what are we doing this week? Oh, yeah. Tomorrow is spa day. Now, spa day, yeah. So, again, part of what we do as a community is activities that bring people together. Now, they've already had a couple of spa days, but it was mostly for the women. I didn't go to them. For example, at Spa Day, we've got Rife machines, massage therapy, salt water hot tub, foot soak detox, red light therapy, essential oils, tinctures, salves, ointments, trail walking, gun cleaning, knife sharpening, and of course, yours truly, I'm doing another cane fighting workshop tomorrow.
Very good. Very good.
So, and again, none of this costs any money. We don't charge for any of it. So in exchange for,
what a practical thing to do. Practical thing. That's a nice event. Very nice.
It's a nice event. Everybody like comes together and anybody that has any, apparently that red light therapy really works. And so if you're not feeling 100% or you got something
correct.
Wrong with you.
It does. You can even get we call them a chicken light. It's got a little cage around it. You know, typical infrared looking bulb, bigger bulb. It's a red light. And it's just the heat. And it does penetrate and it can do some very good things for you.
Yeah, and you know, these days, Jeff, everybody's got something wrong with them. Everybody's got aches and pains.
Most everybody's got something wrong with them. You are right. Yeah.
Yeah, because look at what they've done to us, you know, with their, not only with their injections, but just the food and the goddamn chemtrails. It never stops here, too.
I know.
You know, I'm worried that they're, I stay away from the water now. I don't like the water. I've been getting, which is really unusual. I haven't had it in years, but bladder infection a couple of times.
A UTI?
Yes, UTI, urinary tract infection. That's right. So I had our medical team come over, and they brought me a whole bunch of herbs to treat it. So that's working.
Medical team. Now, for our listeners, medical team from within your community. You have a medical group. See, this is great. Good.
Yeah, our medical team is doing really good. Like I said, the women that are in there, I just love them. These are wonderful people, Jeff. I can't sing the praises enough. And the team leader for our medical team, she's a herbalist, but I've been training her in emergency first aid, and she's already been treating people in the community, people that do not want to go to the hospital. There's one thing that, you know, most of the members in our community will have nothing to do with, and that is doctors. We are so sick of these people. We can't trust them. You know,
no,
they were all in favor of the big lockdowns, and they were all, you know, promoting the usual propaganda, and none of them were actually standing up and trying to really help people. We don't trust doctors anymore. They have lost our respect and our confidence, and we won't go to them. We won't go to them. And as an example of that, last night I finally got to see one of my, I don't know, Jeff, you know, I've assumed the role of kind, wise grandfather.
Father confessor.
Yeah. And one of the ladies, she's in the sister community next to us. But like I said, they often come to our meetings as well. And she just loves me. It's so ridiculous. They live completely off grid. You know, they raise chickens and goats and pigs, and they got a garden. They grow everything in their garden. They collect rainwater in 500-gallon containers, and they, you know, they recharge the batteries with solar, and they are completely off grid. When I went over to her place, the first time I met her, I was sitting in the garden at a bench, and out of the blue, she came up and she sat down right next to me, and she leaned against me, and she said, "I just got to be close to you for a minute."
Oh, that's sweet. Very nice.
And that's so sweet, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, she had a miscarriage last year, but she got pregnant again. And this is a young couple, and her husband is great. When I met her husband, I said to the other people in the community, I said, "Can we have another 10 like him for our security team?" Because he's a rugged guy. He's part of the security team in our sister community. And now he's got an AR-15. He's got a shooting range in the back 40 of the property they own out there. Like I said, they're completely off grid. And but she got pregnant again, and she just gave birth about a month and a half ago. And so she brought her baby, which was great, beautiful little baby. She's a Dutch descendant like me. So blonde, blue-eyed, and just a lovely girl. She just a great woman and plays violin, you know. So I got to see the baby finally. And, oh, my God, she's got the bluest eyes I've ever seen, this little girl. Amanda Rose, pretty little thing. So, but then we started talking, and she gave birth at home. Didn't go to the hospital because, like I said, we don't trust doctors anymore. We don't want anything to do with them unless it's absolutely necessary, like we need an X-ray. Then, okay, we'll go and get an X-ray. But for just about everything else, we don't want nothing to do with hospitals or doctors. We don't trust the sons of bitches anymore. And so she gave birth at home. And guess who was the midwife? Her husband.
I'll be darned. That's probably a nice a life-changing experience in some way. That's something you don't get to do.
Yeah, he was there. He said, all I had to do was catch it. And she did everything else. She tied off the umbilical cord and snipped it and all that and waited for the afterbirth and all that. And so I went up to him. I shook his hand. I said, job well done, mister. But, yeah. You know, he can tell his daughter, I delivered you. Not the doctor, not the hospital, not the midwife. Daddy delivered you. And mommy did everything. So got can it. You believe that stuff? When have you ever heard of a father delivering his own children?
First. That's a first.
That's a first for me, too.
Yeah.
And everything went fine. And baby and mom are healthy and happy. They're just, both of them just glowing. So, you know, I got to say, Jeff.
And no vaccines in the future.
No.
That kid's going to be very healthy. And something we really need now are healthy babies. We're just not seeing it. The birth rate is way down. The number of children born with problems is way up. And goodness knows what's going to happen in a year or two down the road from their birth dates. These kids are, a lot of them are in trouble. The parents are shot up or they're going to be around other kids and get shed upon. It's a very difficult world for children now.
Oh, I feel bad for them. You know what they're going into, and you know, our generation. You know, you selfish sons of bitches. You should have had a little bit more balls, okay? A little bit more testosterone. Stop putting up with this crap.
Well, alpha males have been all but done away with in the mainstream cultural media now. In the entertainment, you won't find alpha males. Not in the TV and not in the movie theaters, not very often. They're usually women now. Alpha males have been replaced by women, alpha women. It's part of the merchandising. It's part of the brain, mind control. This matrix of control is awful.
Yeah. But her husband, and he's a tough guy, you know. He's born and raised on a farm, you know.
Right.
He's part of the security team. No bullshit. What a wonderful family, Jeff.
I know.
So I was very proud to hear that he delivered his own baby and that they didn't need doctors and they didn't need the hospitals, you know. And, of course, no injections for the kids, for the kid, right? No, nothing for them. So this is the way we got to
do just fine.
Yeah. But this is what we have to do for ourselves, Jeff. You know, we can't. We got to stay away from government and big pharma and big medicine. And all. These people don't have our best interests at heart. As a matter of fact, they're doing everything they can to make us sick and kill us. So what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is you form your own community. And we've got a great medical team. She's already treating people in the community, even members that are not, even people that are not members of the community, but neighbors. She was at the meeting where they were talking to one of the other communities that wanted their advice, and one of the women in the audience had a stroke. And she said it was funny because, you know, it was 80 people in the room, and the woman had a stroke, and nobody knew what to do. So she goes running from the front of the stage to the back of the room, and she looked after her and treated her and brought her back. And it was a mild stroke, and just caused her to lose consciousness, and she didn't know where she was, but that's my medical team, okay? They jumped into action. Everybody else is sitting around. You know what it's called? It's called the bystander effect.
Yeah.
You got a whole bunch of people. Somebody's sick, and they pass out, and everybody's sitting there going, huh? So that's our community, Jeff. I'm very proud of them. You know, I really am.
Did you give your community a name? I don't give it out over the air if it's something that's private, but do you refer to yourself as anything special by way of a handle?
Yeah, we do have a name for it.
Good.
But I won't give it out.
No, it's just curious.
Yeah, but it's nothing fancy. It's just, we have initials for it, right? It's very similar to the CSA, which is Community Supporting Agriculture. And there apparently are CSA groups all throughout North America. And they're similar in a way to what we do, but what they focus on is helping their local farmers. So that's a good idea. That's another way to start a community, you know. So you can communities servicing agriculture.
Got it.
Yeah. So that's the update on the community.
How often, just for our listeners who are new to this, how often do you have large meetings? Do you have weekly get-togethers at all? Do you have internet, like email, newsletter updates to all the members? How do you communicate?
Well, we have weekly meetings, and it's really important. You got to get together every week. You can't do it like once a month or something like that, and especially now, you know, we're running out of time, folks. Look, for those that are listening, you can put this together in about 3 to 6 months, all right? Start now. You know, find people that you can work with, that you can cooperate with, and start building your team. You know, 3 to 6 months, and you can get a lot of this going. Depends on how many personal skills you have and the skills that the people that want to join you have. Like I said, you know, our medical team, we've got nurses, we've got first responders, we've got herbalists, we've got Chinese doctors. I still want to get a surgeon because I'm basing our medical team a little bit on what we did in St. John Ambulance when I was a member and when I was the instructor. Because St. John Ambulance, they divide the territory up into divisions, so there'll be a division for your town, and each division has assigned to it a surgeon, so that when there is, you know, a national or disaster where there's a lot of casualties, then yes, the volunteer ambulance attendants, we've got ambulances, or we did have, I'm not a member anymore, but we did have ambulances, and then we would be called out. And we would work with fire departments and other ambulance services, and, you know, we would treat injured people. But we also had a surgeon that was part of our team that would perform those kinds of medical procedures that are a little bit beyond our own personal capabilities.
Got it.
And not only that, the surgeon would come in, and he would continue to train the ambulance attendants. So we all got some basic training. But then, you know, once a month or once every 2 months, the surgeon will come in and he'll give like specialized training, like, you know, how to perform a tracheotomy or how to insert a needle or how to insert an IV. And so in addition to our already, you know, our emergency medical training, we would get a little bit more advanced training. Okay, here's another little thing you can do. Here's another way we can help people. So I want to find a surgeon for our medical team. I'm going to contact the local St. John division here and talk to them. Because at this point now, Jeff, I'm becoming a little bit more brazen. So I'll call these people up and I'll tell them, listen, we have people that are trained in emergency first aid, but we'd like to take it to the next level and we're trying to build resources. And who is your surgeon? Let us talk to him. Can we get him to be a surgeon in our community? The other thing, too, is not far from here is another community. And what they've done is they have bought an ambulance and they have it. They have a couple of paramedics that run it.
Oh, good.
And it's all paid for by government grants.
And, oh, excellent. Smart. Very good.
And it services the really rural areas because there's places like where I'm, you're still close enough to hospitals and it might take you 20 minutes, half an hour to get to the hospital. But there's other places further out where seniors live. There's a lot of old people who live by themselves in some little, some little log cabin, and they're way out there. So this service goes out and visits them. They get the paramedics there. They got medicine. And what they'll do is they'll go and fill the whatever prescriptions that they're on, and they'll drive out way out into the sticks and visit these lone outposts, these houses where people still live, but they don't have access to a hospital or anything. And again, it's paid for by government grants. So, feed off or, live off the resources of your enemy is one of the principles of strategy. So if I can get the government to pay for us to buy an ambulance and we can provide that service, well, that ambulance is also going to take care of our community too. So things like that, there's so much we can do, and we just got to do it, folks. We just got to do it. And again, the people that, I don't know how we lucked out here, but we have the greatest people, really. My buddy, my martial arts buddy here, he wants to build a tool shed in his backyard. Mm-hmm. So one of the other members said, well, I'm going to get you ash. He's got some logs of ash, and one of those sawing machines.
A table saw?
No, he's got one of those big.
A big logger. It cuts logs. I know what you mean.
Yeah, it cuts logs, right? Uh-huh. And it cuts logs down into planks. And he said, "Well, I'm just going to take one of those ash logs and cut it into planks for you, and you can use that to build your tool shed."
Story after story. How many people that live within the boundaries, so to speak, of your group, your community, are not members? How many opted out? What's the percentage? I'm just kind of curious about that.
Oh, well, okay. So, like 99% of the people are not members that live around here.
Interesting. Well, see? And when they see that paramedic ambulance running around helping people, they might come around, some of them. They're going to want to be involved with this, you'd think, unless they're just brain dead. Who knows?
And so my daughter, my adopted daughter, asked him. She says, well, how much would that cost? And he says, nothing. I'm going to do it for free.
That's the spirit. That's the spirit of the community that will grow. You may not see it going in. I'm going to guess that once you form this and people begin to, if the word is bond, whatever, to relate to each other in a very constructive way, they're going to help. People want to help other people. Most white Western Christian people are kindly. They want to help other people. And this is what I'm hearing. This is really nice. And the people who would be interested in forming a community like this would be that kind of giving, caring, providing people. This is good. This is a remarkable story. It really is.
Well, that's why I wanted to tell it to you, Jeff, and to you and your listeners, because we get so much of this negative stuff, and we're, you know, we're taught to be suspicious of everybody. Everybody's an asshole.
Everybody's bad. I know. That's what they want us to think, but it's not the case. And what you're hearing with Stefan every time he's here is that people, there still are good people out there, kind, caring, decent people who don't stare at the screen, who don't submit to mass mind programming, which is what the media is all about, and they know nature. They get away from it. The electronic media is not the way to live. You're not living life.
I hate social media. Absolutely despise it. Because it is poison.
I'm not a member of any of it. I've never signed up for any of it. No, I won't. No interest.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah, I'm a member of a couple of things like Facebook and YouTube.
I won't even sign up to get in to read. Somebody sends me something, I just, if I have to sign up, I don't read it.
Yeah, I don't like to do it either. Mind you, because I hate it so much, I'm almost never on it anyways. I check my Facebook maybe once.
Stefan, you've got a reason to be on it. I mean, if you really wanted to, what you're offering, what you're making available for people, not everybody, but those who have the vision and foresight to understand that there is a better way, you have that's a platform that you really deserve, and you can use it properly. You would. I know.
Well, that's all I use it for anyways, is, you know, to give updates and, you know, trying to encourage people because, you know, it's bad, okay? We all know it's bad, and we all should know
by now that no one is going to come to our rescue except ourselves. No one.
Exactly, yeah. What, the government's going to do something? you know, England's going to invade? I keep hoping that the United States will invade and liberate us from Justin Trudeau, but I don't see any movement in that direction.
You're not going to see anything good out of this government. This government is gone. It's completely, totally taken over by international Bolshevik, communist, Zionist, Freemasons, you name it. It's all about greed, money, power, and control.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
So that's why, you know, like for the last couple of months, that's all we've been talking about, and I feel bad. I think, well, maybe I should, you know, talk about subjects that are more serious for your listeners, you know, prepping advice and things like that. But on the other hand, how often do you get to hear good stories about people being decent to each other,
not
delivering their own babies, you know?
No, that's very nice.
I don't hear it from... I don't know where to go to hear those kind of stories. Listen, everybody, all the preppers and people that you know, have the prepper channels and all that, they all say, "Oh yeah, we gotta you know, work together. We gotta form communities," and yet I never hear that they've done that.
And your people and all of you listening who are in the community are to be really congratulated. Not in the sense of ego gratification, but you've done something that is truly inspirational. It's an old expression, and lead by example, and you're doing it, and that will inspire other people. Look at your neighboring communities that are getting going now. It's because of you people. Well done.
Yeah, they've heard through word of mouth, I don't know how. Apparently, we are even known as far away as Saskatchewan, which is about 1,500 miles from here. I don't know how they found out about us, but apparently, you know, people talk to each other. You know, a couple of our members moved way to the East Coast, Halifax, and guess what? They set up communities there.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, see?
Yeah, so we're spreading.
That's the kind of contagion you like. Well, that's good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so that's why I talk about it. I don't know, I find it a little bit self-indulgent on my part to talk about our community and what we're doing. But on the other hand, I think
Please don't ever stop, because that's what gets people thinking. You got to have something as a bait, and what you've accomplished there is really, I think, a light in the darkness. So keep at it. Talk to you next month.
Yes, Jeff. Stephanie. Thank you. And I'll figure out how to ship that over.
All right. Well, I should send you my address, too. So
I got it. You already sent it to me.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Stephanie. Thanks to everyone up there as well.
Thanks, Jeff. You have a good night.
Okay. You too. Thank you. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, another weekend. Enjoy it. Think about these things. Maybe you can start a community in your area. All right. We'll be right back with you on Monday. In the meantime, you know where to find us. Take care. Talk soon.